co-founded Second and Seven to promote literacy and provide positive role models for kids in Central Ohio. And that's exactly what they have done for a quarter of a century now. And they do a lot in the community, including something that's coming up this month, the Second and Seven football camp. We're joined today by Ryan Miller to tell us more about this and all of the other wonderful things Second and Seven do for the community. Hi, Ryan. Thanks for being on Ohio Sports Magazine today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been 25 years and it's super exciting. So I'm glad you have a chance to sit back and hopefully some of the listeners can learn a little bit more about Second and Seven.
Well, let's start right there. Tell me, what was it that moved you and your colleagues, so to speak, to start this foundation?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, when we were student athletes, we all went to school. We tell kids back in the 1900s, back in the 1993 to 96, the three of us were football players at Ohio State. And probably one of the neatest things besides the tackles and touchdowns where we were a part of, it was the ability for us to be a part of the community and kind of start to understand our sphere of influence as student athletes. And I'll never forget it. I was a freshman when I got a phone call from one of the individuals that worked within the football department and asked if I would read to some second graders while I was in school. And so I remember writing it down on my old school planner, that was, on the desk calendar that we all used to have back then. And it was, a few months from that particular phone call, but I wrote it down. And as I got closer and closer to that particular reading day, I remember thinking, man, I've got class, I've got, social activities, I've got my student athlete responsibilities of trying to, get to the workouts and get to practice and get to film study. So I had all these things going on. I thought, man, why am I going to, quote unquote, spend my time or waste my time going to an elementary school to read? I was kind of having a bad attitude, but I thought, I'm going to go because I promised I would go. So I went and I'll never forget it. I went and met the principal. They gave me a book. I went to read to these children and they looked at me like I was from outer space and they hugged on me, asked me for my autograph. You could tell that I was making an amazing impact. And so I remember driving back to campus that day, kind of first and foremost, maybe ashamed of myself the way I felt prior to the reading, but then also thinking, wow, I really have an opportunity to do much more than just, make a tackle in Ohio Stadium on Saturdays in the fall. I really have a chance to do much more. So when I graduated, I thought I want to continue to read to children with my buddies and not just read to them, but also give them a book. So we started a little football camp, which now we have our 25th anniversary of football camp coming up. But we held this little football camp back in 1999 where 40 kids showed up. The amount of money that we raised that particular year was enough to buy second grade reading level books for seven schools in the Columbus community. So we called it Second and Seven because it was second graders at seven schools. And we were football guys. That's a down and distance term.
Mm-hmm.
And in the next year, we had more kids come to camp. So we went to more schools. And then the next year, same thing happened. More kids came to camp. So we were allowed to buy more books, which meant we could go to more schools. It really got to the point where there were so many books over the course of those first 5 years that we were able to purchase that Mike and Luke and myself, we really couldn't get out to all the schools anymore because we just had too many books. So we were fortunate that we had a good relationship with Ohio State. And at the time, their new athletic director, Gene Smith, who has now since retired this year, he decided that it would make sense for Ohio State to continue this as a departmental initiative to allow their student athletes to continue to read to children and give them books that we would have purchased for those children. And so we continued to kind of pay it forward with this idea of having student athletes be role models in the community by reading to children and giving them a free book. Since that time, I'm proud to say that we've had student athletes go and become coaches and take this program to their university. We've had other assistant coaches go on to other universities. And so we're in 26 different states. Over 180 universities and high schools have their student athletes reading to children in their communities. And we've just given away our 1 millionth book this year. So things have certainly continued to grow beyond our wildest dreams. And it was a very simple idea that we just wanted to be able to make a difference in the life of a second grader by showing them that we care, we love reading, we hope that we encourage them to read and give them a book to remember our time together. And so that was kind of the thought process way back when. We never in a million years would have thought we would have been giving away a million books. And we certainly didn't think we were going to be around for 25 years. But I guess when your heart's in the right place, good things happen.
Imagine if you had blown off that opportunity to read to second graders when you were a freshman at Ohio State. Wow.
It's hard to believe, you know, and I share that story with a lot of the student athletes because I know what they're feeling and what they're going through. There's so many tugs and pulls on their time. You know, the commitment of time is really mm-hmm. challenging for a student athlete. And so to have them part of a program like Second and Seven that doesn't really make them, you know, commit a ton of time, but it's the time that's so valuable to these children, these second graders that, again, I share that story with the student athletes because a lot of them, you know, when you first talk about doing things other than what they're kind of conditioned to do, which is wake up, go to study table, go to practice, go to class, get back to film study, go to tutoring, get to training table, you know, get back to film study, go to bed. I mean, they're like robots at some level. And to show them that they can carve out a little bit of time and really it would make the biggest difference, not only in the kids that they're reading to, but I believe it will change their lives as well. So I'm firsthand, you know, like you said, I'm a firsthand believer that, you know, if you go out of your comfort zone a little bit, you'll be amazed at what can follow you.
And this is an amazing outcome that you have from that first day of reading. It's really, truly impressive when you think about the fact that you've given away a million books and that football camp is still going this year. It kicks off on Monday, the 17th of June at Hilliard Weaver Middle School. Now, is camp full already or are there still spots available?
Well, that's a great question. So we never turn kids away, whether it's at football camp or if a principal or teacher calls and asks some of us to come read to them. So it's getting close to being full. If someone wants to get online and register, you can do so at Second and Seven, all spelled out, secondandseven.com. You'll see the events tab. You can drop down and see the football camp. If you just so happen to want to come the day of and walk up and register, we're not going to turn people away. I know typically we have around 300 kids at camp, so there's quite a few, you know, kids between the ages of 7 and 12, boys and girls. We have, through the years, plenty of children who have maybe special needs that can come out, and we're so blessed to have so many great individuals that volunteer, whether they're people that help at registration or help for the coaches or assist the coaches. So we certainly have enough hands on deck to support 300-plus children out there, but the cool part is, in my opinion, it's more of a leadership camp as opposed to a true football camp. Now, clearly, we're going to do a lot of football activities. You know, we'll get them in a three-point stance. We'll throw them the football. We'll let them tackle a tackling dummy. But, you know, a lot of my favorite campers are the ones that maybe take their whole girls' soccer team to football camp, and they compete in all these little fun drills. And they realize that once they hear the speakers that we have come, which may not be from just specifically the world of football, but it might be some other sport that maybe some of our female campers can relate to, or maybe it's a trainer that's helping the student athlete get back onto their respective playing field. And so there's a lot of different things that the kids can relate to. We clearly talk about trying your best, being good listeners. We talk a little bit about what you can do at home to create an environment where you're helpful. So being a good helper around the house, around the neighborhood. We talk about kindness being contagious. So I really believe that this is one of my favorite things in the summer for children to be involved in. We've been doing it for 25 years, and we're so blessed to have so many great individuals. It's funny because kids that have been in camp through the years that end up aging out always come back and help out. And that's just a testament to all the great people who've been involved. It's a testament to what the camp stands for. And so, yeah, if you're free on June 17th, 18th, and 19th this year, and you have a child between the ages of 7 and 12, and you haven't signed them up for any other camps at this point, Second and Seven's football camp would be certainly one you'd want to check out.
June 17th through the 19th in Hilliard. It's the Second and Seven football camp. Ryan Miller, thank you so much for your time today and for all that you do to give back to the community through Second and Seven. What a great idea. Thank you and your friends for doing that.
Well, thanks for having me. Have a great day.
We'll have more of this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue here on the Ohio News Network.
The Buckeye Show.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now. I mean, I'm sure he's in bed.
I tell you what, Ryan, you better not be saying those things about me. I will get you.
The Buckeye Show.
Sponsored by CareSource.
Weeknights at 6 on The Fan.
Nation.
Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Kate Burdett.
I am Kate Burdett, and there's a pretty big sporting event happening in Cleveland in July. Cleveland will be hosting the 2024 Pan American Masters Games, July 12th through the 21st. It's a major event of the International Masters Games Association, offering an opportunity for athletes to showcase their competitive spirit and athletic ability on a global stage. And we're talking thousands of athletes. Today, I'm joined by Rachel Stenz-Bocker. She is the executive director of the 2024 Pan American Masters Games in Cleveland. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I can't remember a time when a sporting event that sounds so prominent was held in Ohio. Is this kind of a big deal?
Yes, this is a very big deal. So I work for the Greater Cleveland Sports Commission, and we're a local nonprofit, and our mission is basically to drive tourism through sports. So we have been around for about 25 years, and our whole mission is around hosting sporting events so that people will travel and spend their money here, and then our economy is positively affected and boosted by the travel and the tourism that comes. And so I've been lucky to have been around for quite a long time. We hosted some events, you know, similar to this in the past. Like in 2013, we hosted the National Senior Games. We had about 10,000 athletes for that event, and that was really fantastic. This one's a little bit different, though, because it's international. The National Senior Games only welcomes athletes from within the United States, but the Pan American Masters Games is an international event, and truly anyone is welcome to participate. It's not specifically for athletes from North and South America, although it's held in North or South America. This event is open to anyone over the age of 30 who wants to compete in any of our 22 different sports. So that's something that people don't really recognize, is that we'll have thousands of athletes from all over the world, all over the U.S., and there's no qualification necessary. If you are a weekend warrior, or you love to run a 10K, or you know, anything like that, if you want to participate and you're within the age range that we're hosting, you are welcome to sign up and participate.
And what is that age range?
Over the age of 30. So Masters Athletics around the world are known to be for athletes over the age of 30. So in many cases, these are athletes who maybe played in high school or college and want to continue playing as adults. You know, a lot of the rec leagues that we experience here in the United States, like, would qualify for this type of thing. There are different athletes that compete in masters sport around the country and around the world, like masters track and field or masters swimming. There are leagues and groups of adult athletes who participate all over the world. And those are the folks that we are trying to get to compete here in Cleveland.
And you mentioned there's a number of sports. How many sports exactly are there?
There are 22 sports.
Wow.
So whatever sport you are thinking of, we probably have it. So, I mean, I won't be able to name them all, and I'm not looking at a list, but, you know, we have everything from four different disciplines in cycling to swimming, triathlon, running. We have 10K and half marathon, badminton, judo, karate, table tennis, 3-on-3 basketball, indoor volleyball, beach volleyball, rowing, you know, I could go on and on. We have lots of different sports. Curling. We have pickleball. Lots of different things.
Oh, pickleball. I bet that one's very popular with your athletes. Is that just a U.S. thing, or are you seeing a lot of foreign participation in pickleball?
We're seeing foreign participation, too. Pickleball, although it's never been held, it hasn't been part of the International Masters Games Association events in the past. We're seeing a lot of pickup on pickleball. People are very interested in it, and we're expecting that it will be part of future offerings for IMGA events.
Rachel Stenz-Bocker is the executive director of the upcoming Pan American Masters Games in Cleveland. They start on July 12th and go through the 21st with a variety of games, and it's open to athletes over the age of 30 from all over the world. Rachel, the Pan American Masters Games are held how frequently?
The Pan American Masters Games are held every 4 years. So the last Pan American Masters Games would have been in 2020, except for the pandemic. So actually, we had bid to host that event in Cleveland and lost the bid, and we're very sad. But then we realized Rio was awarded that event following the Olympics. But because of the pandemic, that event never happened. So it really was a blessing in disguise for us that we were awarded 2024, because obviously this is now happening. Prior to that, of course, was 2016, and that event was in Vancouver in Canada.
No shade to Rio, but it seems to me that if they just hosted the Olympics, maybe they could let someone else have a chance. So it seems like it was kind of, you know.
We thought the same thing.
It kind of worked out
okay. Yeah, we thought the same thing. Yeah. No, we're so excited to have this event. You know, we at the Sports Commission pride ourselves on hosting incredible events and making them better in Cleveland than they are in any other city. Having the opportunity to host the Pan American Masters Games is really a feather in our cap. You know, we love hosting multi-sport events. I don't know this for sure. This is very anecdotal, but I believe we've hosted, you know, more multi-sport events than most other cities have in the last 10 years. You know, in 2013, we hosted the National Senior Games, followed by in 2014, the Gay Games 9 were in Cleveland. We hosted the Transplant Games of America in 2016. You know, we've got a couple other things that are that we're looking at for future years as well. So it's difficult and complicated to host a multi-sport event, but we don't back down from complicated or difficult. We do it with a smile, and we hope that people will come to Cleveland for these fantastic events.
And come they will. And coming up, if you'll stay with us, hopefully, Rachel, I'd like to talk about what opportunities there are for fans that can come and watch these events. Also, if there are any opportunities in the community to volunteer with the games. That and more coming up on Ohio Sports Magazine.
Hey folks, it's game day and the betting's gonna be intense, Drew.
You said it, Dave, but a good pregame routine keeps betting responsible.
That's right, you gotta pause before you play.
Good call. Sports betting is hot, but it can be risky.
And pausing to set limits is an all-star move.
That's right, Dave. If you bet on sports, pause before you play to set limits, recognize the risk, and know when to stop.
Learn more at pausebeforeyouplay.org.
Do you want a job that is flexible, secure, and fun? It also offers excellent pay and is ranked as one of the best jobs in America, too. I'm talking about being a dental hygienist. And all you have to do is complete a 2-year program after high school. Visit ODA.org to learn more and to start helping people love their smile. This message is brought to you by the members of the Ohio Dental Association.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is fast for cash. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family. I even buy my tenants won't pay me the rent houses. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
Do you have foot pain? Foot pain is not normal regardless of your age or job. Podiatric physicians are the most qualified doctors to care for your feet and can provide important foot care solutions or shoe inserts to better manage foot pain. Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association podiatric physicians are located throughout the state and are dedicated to providing the highest quality foot and ankle care. We've been serving the profession and the public for over 100 years. To find a member of the Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association near you, visit associationsadvanceohio.com.
This is the sound of a popular American motorcycle. It's the sound of freedom, the open road, really good times. And this is what it sounds like with a drunk guy in it. How do you like the sound of that? Cops are cracking down on drunk motorcycle riders. If you ride drunk, you will get caught and you will get arrested. Drunk riding. Over the limit, under arrest. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
A healthy body needs good food. This summer, the Ohio Department of Education and Workforce is sponsoring Sun Meals, a summer food program where kids eat free. Children under 18 receive healthy meals and no sign-up is required. Locations may be right in your neighborhood. Call 1-866-348-6479 or visit education.ohio.gov/kidseat for meal locations and times. That's education.ohio.gov/kidseat.
The Fan. The Fan. Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Kate Burdett.
Welcome back to Ohio Sports Magazine. I'm Kate Burdett, speaking today with Rachel Stensbacher, the executive director of the Pan American Masters Games. They're happening in Cleveland July 12th through the 21st, and athletes, thousands of them from all over the world, will be in Cleveland. Rachel, remind me how many sports are being competed in?
Sure. We have 22 different sports, and even within those sports, there are a variety of disciplines. So, you know, if you're a cyclist, for example, you could do mountain bike out at Bedford. You could do the criterium at Wade Oval. You could do time trial. You know, we have lots of different opportunities. Same with like track and field, you know, lots of different events within the event. So 22 sports, but somewhere around 30 different disciplines.
And as Rachel mentioned earlier, this is for anyone over the age of 30. There's not a pre-qualifying situation or anything. Like she said, that term, if you're a weekend warrior in, say, pickleball, there are opportunities to compete. Are athletes still able to register for this year's games?
Yes, absolutely. So our deadline for many of our sports is June 12th. We may be extending that deadline based on our registration numbers and what our caps are. You know, we have maximum numbers in certain sports. So depending on where we land on June 12th, we might extend that a little bit so that more information will come about that. But yes, registration is open for every sport that we have, and we would welcome anyone to participate. to your point, Kate, you know, some folks are more competitive than others, and so many of our sports also offer both a recreational and a competitive division. And then each of the sports is also broken down by age groups. So you won't have 35-year-olds competing against 85-year-olds unless they choose to do that. but we will split folks up based on age group, and then also based on, you know, their you know, recreational or competitive division.
So if you're listening to this right now and you're thinking, that could be fun, ClevelandMasters2024.com is the place to start to get all of the information. It's also a great place to go if you're a fan of any of these numerous sports and you think it might be fun to go and be a spectator. How many different venues are being utilized in Northeast Ohio?
Oh, Kate, so many. I don't have an exact number on that, but I want to say somewhere around 40 different venues are being utilized. Some of our sports are at a variety of venues, like baseball, for example. We're using four different City of Cleveland ball fields. Many of our ball fields have been recently refurbished, you know, thanks to the MLB All-Star Game that was here in 2019. As an example, that for that event, there are four different venues, but other sports are all held within one venue. So about 40 different locations, and spectators are free. So we've got a schedule that's up on that website, ClevelandMasters2024.com. You can see the full schedule there. And of course, more detail will be added as the event draws near, but anyone and everyone is welcome to come out and cheer on our athletes as they compete.
What a fantastic opportunity to seriously, to be a part of history in Cleveland, Ohio, to be a part of this immense undertaking. And maybe you don't want to sit by and watch. Maybe you think volunteering might be more your speed. You need some volunteers for this event, don't you?
We sure do. So we've got about just over 1,000 volunteers already committed, but we could still use more. We are constantly, you know, revamping our plans and adding things into our volunteer recruitment efforts every day. So like, for example, this week we've added, we're looking for folks to carry the sports signs for the athlete march at our welcome celebration on July 13th at Mall C. All of our athletes will be marching in from Public Square to Mall C, and we're looking for volunteers to hold the signs that say, you know, soccer or basketball, whatever the case may be, as an example. So, you know, that's a very active volunteer position where, you know, you would be in the spotlight and you would be a very active part of our event. We also have, you know, other positions, like we're looking for ambassadors to be at hotels, providing information for our athletes as they depart and arrive each day. Looking for folks to be at the airport, you know, welcoming our athletes from out of town. There's a lot of different volunteer opportunities that we're looking for. We also have some sports-specific ones. So if you really love volleyball, for example, you maybe could come out and help us with scorekeeping or being a line judge, stuff like that. So lots of different opportunities, no matter your skill level, no matter your level of activity. We welcome everyone.
And that word ambassador seems really appropriate in this setting, because it makes me think about how sports can be such a great way for people to come together from different cultures, from different countries, and have that, you know, common thing in, you know, together. And really, I mean, imagine the people you could meet and will meet during this event. It is, it's almost mind-boggling to think about some new friends being made, whether you're a competitor, whether you're a spectator or a volunteer or staff member at the event. It just honestly sounds so cool. And I'm so impressed by Cleveland.
Well, thanks, Kate. You know, you're absolutely right. You know, at this point, we do have athletes confirmed and registered from more than 65 countries from around the world and 47 states. So just putting that in perspective, you know, the chances of you actually meeting people from all over the world are very, very high. This is primarily an international event. And so although we certainly have drawn in a lot of U.S. athletes, this is not just there are a few international folks sprinkled in. I mean, this is going to be probably 50-50 in terms of the number of international athletes, you know, and domestic athletes. And also, you know, at a time like this, with the way that the world is, you know, sport really does have that power to bring people together and bridge gaps, you know, that exist in other areas, political or other. And so it really is an opportunity for us to showcase, you know, beautiful sportspersonship, you know, cross-cultural sharing, you know, ethnic engagement, things like that. And speaking of that, you know, Cleveland is well known to have so many wonderful, robust ethnic communities. We are tapping into those as well. We're doing some events out at the Cultural Gardens. We have planted 24 trees to represent the year 2024, which is the year of the games in Cleveland, kind of as a legacy component of the games, but also referencing back to all the different ethnic communities that are going to be represented. So we're doing lots of cool stuff to again, bring people together, create community, bridge gaps across the world, and showcase that Cleveland is a wonderful place to visit and really can be and will be a leader in international competition.
We're talking about the 2024 Pan American Masters Games being held in July in Cleveland. It's a big deal. Rachel Stensbacher, the executive director of the Games, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Kate. I appreciate it very much.
We'll have more of this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue here on the Ohio News Network.
Join us for Gambling Things, Fantasy Sports, Gambling Things, and most importantly, Gambling Things, Hollywood Casinos on the Money, Sunday morning at 9.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
The Fan. This is ONN.
Earlier this week, the College Football Playoff Committee released their schedule for the expanded 12-team playoff coming later this year. The 11 total games will run from December 20th to Monday, January 20th of 2025. That'll be the national championship game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. First round games will take place at various on-campus sites. That'll be determined by the participants. The higher seed will host on December 20th or one of three games on December 21st. If you don't have a calendar in front of you, December 20th is a Friday. The 21st is a Saturday. The National Football League is playing two games that Saturday. That'll likely take away from the viewership of the college football playoffs. Paul Feinbaum covers the SEC and college football at large for ESPN. He was on with Bo Bishop on ONN affiliate WBNS FM in Columbus earlier this week and says college football really doesn't want to challenge the NFL and will do everything they can to not do so in the future.
I think they're trying, Bo, but Roger Goodell, who used to be very tone sensitive to everyone, doesn't seem to care about anyone these days. You saw what happened on Christmas Day when he obliterated the NBA, and I just don't think he much cares anymore. The stakes are too high for network deals, as you saw yesterday with the NBA price, and I think they're going to keep doing this.
You know, the thing that I was curious about is what he would do from a lineup. We knew that it was coming because, I mean, we've kind of ramrodded this 12-team playoff in pretty quickly, so you knew that it was coming, but he's playing the hits. He's giving you Kansas City, and he's giving you Houston, and then he's giving you the Steelers and the Ravens in those two windows that are going to go head-to-head, and then the broadcast will be on Turner for those on the college football side of things. This doesn't, the first time you go into a 12-team playoff, this does not feel to me, Paul, like the way you want to go at it.
No, I mean, if you saw maybe Carolina and Jacksonville in that early game, you would say, maybe. But what it tells me too, Bo, and I'm sure you, is that the College Football Playoff Committee, which is heavily influenced by its main partner, ESPN, will likely put the two dog games, if there are games like that, we're talking probably the worst two teams listed in the afternoon. I mean, why would you waste a Friday or Saturday night game opposite the Chiefs?
That's exactly it. And the other thing I thought about is, when you think about Pittsburgh and you think about Penn State, very likelihood Penn State, they very much could be a 12-team playoff team. That's why James Franklin still has a job, is to now that he has a 12-team playoff, is kind of a way out. And then Texas. I mean, Texas feels like a team that's certainly going to be in a 12-team playoff, and you have the Houston Texans. So you can't go head-to-head with those type of teams against the NFL. So it'll be that Friday night slot and then the Saturday slot. I guess the question, when you were down at SEC Media Days talking with Sankey, did this come up? Did the calendar come up? You and I have talked before about, hey, man, we got to start this thing earlier or later to try to avoid these conflicts of the NFL. How was it a topic of conversation down there? And if so, how cognizant of it is he?
Certainly, he's aware of it. I mean, he's at the vanguard of that conversation, but it never came up. Bo, the only thing that came up last week was all the stuff that we don't want to talk about. I talked to you last Thursday, literally, as I got off the plane, so maybe I was still somewhat euphoric. But it was fairly dreary. I mean, if it can be dreary at the beach, it was, because every conversation was about ADs complaining about not knowing anything and coaches complaining about not knowing their roster size. And Sankey tried to look ahead, but the CFP was not on the agenda. I'm sure 5 weeks from now, when Media Days commences in Dallas, it will be a much bigger topic, because I don't think anyone will want to talk about House NCAA then. I think yesterday caught people by surprise, although everyone inside the Beltway knew this was coming. They knew the dates. They just didn't see it in black and white.
The one thing that jumped, we all knew it was coming, but then when it gets dropped, then I think the rest of the world goes, wait, what are they doing? They're doing that? I think about ESPN, and I think, like, they're paying a great deal of money, right, for this association. And if you're ESPN, this is one of your most valuable commodities. It's not the NFL. I acknowledge that. You've mentioned that before. But at the same time, it's probably number two, and you're gonna lose it. You're giving up. So the influence ESPN will have over this, I would think, would be significant, Paul, in terms of getting a chance to have television shows they can actually broadcast that are unopposed by the National Football League.
No question. I mean, there's not much debate. The best two windows are going to be Friday night and Saturday night. And I don't even think either one of them are great windows. And I say this because we are looking at the Saturday and Friday night before Christmas. Bo, I mean, that is probably one of the busier holiday party nights of the year. And I know that nothing seems more important than college football except Christmas. And I don't know. I mean, we've all been to them. And TVs will be on. And if for whatever reason Ohio State lost two games and missed the bye, I'm sure everybody in Columbus will be tuned in. But the rest of the country probably won't be.
We'll have more of this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue here on the Ohio News Network.
One of the most important Buckeye football seasons ever is coming. The Fan is your home for all the news and interviews you need as fall camp approaches. Join us. We're a friendly bunch of degenerates. Your Buckeye station. The Fan. Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.